Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests did not wish to break his word to him. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate the exclamation point in the life of St. John the Baptist. He was always a precursor to the Lord, a precursor in the womb, pointing him out, a precursor in birth, and many rejoiced, a precursor in preaching conversion. His very words there at the Jordan would be Jesus' first words, and a precursor in his passion, as the church now calls the feast today, the passion of John the Baptist, a precursor in his passion, his death, and in the perception, at least, of Herod, even in his resurrection. St. Matthew's account, Herod uses the same words about Jesus that the angels would at his tomb. He has been raised from the dead. Herod looked at Jesus as John the Baptist redivivus, risen anew. It's important for us to see this entire panorama of the life of John the Baptist to understand adequately today's feast, because in this feast he was fulfilling that mission of making straight the way of the Lord. He was bringing people to humility. He was bringing people to the bridegroom. He was decreasing so that Christ would really be able to increase. First reading today, which varies from year to year, gives us a different prism with which to look at this. Often, we look at John the Baptist as the greatest born of woman. We've first been introduced to him as a great saint. But St. Paul, in today's first reading, describes God's work as a vocation director. He chooses the foolish of the world. He chooses the weak of the world. He chooses the lowly and despised of the world to make humble those who think themselves wise, strong, and connected. And John the Baptist, we can look at him in these ways. John the Baptist was considered a madman, living out in the desert, eating wild locusts and honey, dressing in camel's hair, preaching a message that to the comfortable was totally extreme. He was lowly. not living in palaces. The only way he got an invitation to meet somebody important was through his arrest. Despised, as we see in many of those hostile dialogues with the scribes and the Pharisees who traveled all the way down from Jerusalem to see him, hear him, and basically condemn him. John the Baptist's vocation is one in which we see how the Lord exalted him through the many means by which he followed Jesus and in the eyes of the world became foolish, lowly, weak, and despised. And that's one of the messages that we have, that by our baptism, John the Baptist, non-sacramental baptism, was likewise a precursor to Jesus and the church's work of the baptism that affects what it signifies. In our baptism, we are set on a trajectory to enter into the Passion of the Lord, to point to it after it points to us, as Jesus did it for all of us. And that passion that happens continuously in life is one in which we're going to fulfill the description of St. Paul, and in the eyes of the world be crazy for leaving everything behind and dressing in weird clothes. Weak, with no real political power. Despised by those who hate the truth, hate the one who fleshed it, and hate the ones who announce it. But John the Baptist's passion is likewise a triumph. It was here that he was really giving witness to Jesus the bridegroom. In an age that doesn't take marriage seriously as God planned it, as a result, not only experiences so much heartache from defective forms of love that will never satisfy, but also gets increasingly distanced from God because marriage is the foremost paradigm of the communion of persons who is the Blessed Trinity. John the Baptist was giving witness to the truth about marriage and how the bridegroom had come to redeem marriage, and through redeeming marriage, redeem all human beings as a communion. What Herod did outraged even the pagans of his own time. He went to Rome to try to see Caesar. While he was there, he stayed with his brother and then committed adultery with his brother's wife and stole her for his own. It was already a problem with Philip because Herodias was both of their nieces. It was an incestuous relationship. But yet, after the adultery, she came back with Herod. But nobody really accepted. And Herodias was increasingly angered that she, who was the consort of the king, was treated as despicable. So she was constantly trying to exert herself, and like Jezebel, frankly, through power and evil. That was the way, rather than love, that she would exalt herself. Because John said the obvious truth, that it wasn't lawful for Herod to have his brother's wife, that was straight out of the book of Leviticus, she, harboring that grudge, always looked for an opportunity to kill him. And she got her chance at Herod's birthday party, where Herod abused Herodias' daughter, basically made her dance before all his lustful courtiers, as if she was some type of trafficking. And then he treated her, in the presence of her mother, almost as his own consort. I will give you whatever you ask for, even to half my kingdom. As if you were my wife, I'll split it straight down the middle. Because all the capital sins were on display in this feast. envy, pride, lust, gluttony, certainly avarice, anger. They're all there. So when the petition was made, Salome could have asked for anything. She asked for what the mother put on her lips, on the Baptist's head. Because I can't get out of my head whenever I do Lectio Divina on this passage. As people are singing happy birthday, in comes not the ancient equivalent of a birthday cake, but a severed head. That's how upside down everything was. And the soldier gives it to the girl who isn't sickened because her heart was so hard, who gave it to her mother. What an awesome way to end a party. John the Baptist came in order to right that wrong, and he did it in the same way Jesus would. He would do it through his own death, which in foretelling Jesus's, and in a sense, inchoately participating in it, helped to right that wrong, just like Jesus' crucifixion. It wasn't the way we would do it to turn things right side up. But John the Baptist, in witnessing to the truth of marriage and to the coming of the bridegroom, was helping lust in its threefold Johannine sense be turned into love. Today, as we celebrate this Mass feast, we remember John the Baptist's connection to every Mass. Here we echo not just his words at the Jordan, but his entire life as we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus' first disciples had been prepared in the school of John the Baptist. John the Baptist not only helped everybody make straight the ways of the Lord, but prepared John and Andrew, seemed to have been preparing Philip to be able to go to the one whom John's word and life would magnify. Today, as we enter into the school of the entire life of John the Baptist, we ask for his intercession, that we might give with all we are, despite our lowliness, despite our worldly foolishness, despite our weaknesses, despite the fact that so many don't get us. We might likewise point out this Lamb, this bridegroom, and like John, rejoice to be with him forever.